Welcome to the round 21 Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus, and this week I'm joined by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mates.
G'day, mate. Good to be here. I was just thinking about how much deeper your voice has gotten since our first show 13 years ago, mate. now dulcet tones.
Yeah, I've been just coughing out my lung when I can just to really double down on the nice deep vibrato. Anyway, plenty of gusto to head into round 21, Mark. First week of the finals are done. Trying to carry some energy into the end of the season. We know a lot of people are low on trades. We didn't get a heap of questions, so we're going to try and keep it short and snappy so that we don't bore too many of you out there who are just looking for a quick fix or a little bit of advice. Got some questions around some low performers. Tim Taranto is a bit of a culprit at the moment. But before we get into some questions, Mark, as we do each week, we'll start off with a recap of the round that's just been. Why don't you kick us off, mate? How did you score for the round?
I was just thinking, you're talking about gusto, mate. Are we going to start saying ahoy as well? Get some Hamish and Andy references in. I had a pretty crappy week, to be honest. 25-35 looked real good until those last couple of games on Sunday, and just got so let down by Danaher, Bolton and Taranto. They really cost me a good score. Dropped 300 spots again, just treading water. I think I've been between 3,000 and 4,000 for the last 12 weeks or so. But yeah, I guess things are looking okay. I don't know, Faz had a massive week.
Yeah, we were trying to get him on for the show, but I think he's going to join us instead for the Patreon bonus after this. Faz scored about 27.50, and he was let down with Tim Taranto to finish. So he was probably like shooting for 2,800 if Taranto had played ball a little bit. I scored 27.24, so not too far off him.
27.24, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Rowan Marshall has turned out reasonably well with a 158, especially because I basically passed on Dangerfield to bring Marshall in that spot. So he's helping to even things out, and Danger only scored 88, so that was not bad. Sidebottom had another big week, this time as acting captain, 123 points, a goal and 33 disposals was nice. Josh Kelly was my poorest midfield score with 94, but apart from that, next lowest was Jared Lyons with 121, had Clayton's 166, Petrarca 148, Merritt 168. I know everyone had big midfield scores. It was a particularly good one. And Ridley, I guess, a bit of a letdown with 52 in the back line. But overall, team with Rowan Marshall and Callum Mells back in delivered what I expected, continuing my charge up hopefully into the triple digits. So 12.58 for my overall season rank now, moved up 300 spots, two trades and three rounds to hopefully get up there with, I think, a slightly better team than average in my current spot. So keep my fingers crossed that I can get there by the end of the season.
You still got like eight trades left or something, mate?
Just the two left. I'm hoping for a bit more carnage to make good use of them, but we'll see. Dusty going down recently was good enough, I suppose. In terms of our Supercoach Coach group, top scorer there for the week is Michael's team, Power to Win. He scored 28.55, round rank of 39, so congrats to him. And in terms of the overall leader for our Supercoach Coach group, it is still Emily's team, Supercoach Mama, and she held on to the number one rank. So
that is massive.
Yeah, three of the last weeks at number one, including a stint earlier on in the season. Very, very good to see that she's keeping that up, that brilliant form. And I know we're all continuing to keep our fingers crossed on her behalf. Jordan DeGoey is in her team, scoring 138. She also has Aaron Hall. She got onto a few of the fast finishes on the run home. So hopefully they can keep that up for her. And she should at least be on track to get a bit of cash out of this year. So
I think, 3 months ago. I think I read a female's leaving Dream Team as well. So girls just dominating at the moment. Feels a bit like the Olympics.
Girl power indeed. Anything to bring the gender balance into Supercoach is certainly appreciated. Yeah. If we ever do audience analysis, I think it's like 95%. It's not even like 90 or 80. It's like 95%, guys.
That's a bit like a lot of domains on the internet, mate. There's a lot of boys out there, internet nerds, playing a bit of fantasy football that need access to females. So we need to bring them on board. My wife's on board. She loves it. But, yeah, doesn't meet a lot of other girls that are so on board.
In terms of our Patreon group, top scorer for the week there was Chris's team, Lunny's Legend, with 27.94, around 20 rank of 234th overall. And the overall leader for our Patreon group is Zach's team, Patton General, in terms of total points, 100 points ahead of second, and another 30 points behind him is Travis's team, Styling and Profiling. 20 points behind him is Josh's team, Slapnut Magoo. So within 150 or so points sit four teams all contending for the Patreon cash tip at the end of the season. So plenty of intrigue there on the run home and bragging rights to be achieved. If you're interested in joining us for the playoff for the cash tip next year, don't forget you can join us at patreon.com/supercoachcoach. Obviously, we are still tanking patrons at this stage of the season, but generally a bit slower on the sign-ups. But we pause over the off-season, so if you're interested, you can always sign up this year, get a few more of the additional eps, and then be an auto-renewer for next pre-season.
We're going to come back for season 14, are we? We're going to be like grandpas on here. I just talked to
you about the coach. Yeah, well, maybe we can both be from the road next year. A boy that'd can dream. All right, Mark, let's get into some questions for the week, and we'll start off with this first one from Corey Blackledge. He only has one trade left, 10K in bank. Should he look at trading Bramble to Nick Blakey or Ridley to Harris Andrews if he's going for a league win, or should he be holding for injuries? So I suppose an interesting one, similar to a question we got last week, but basically how aggressive should you go? So a quick recap, I guess, of league strategy for people who might not have caught it last week. How do you think Corey should be approaching that final trade? We talked about potentially holding for injury with four rounds to run, but if you made it through the finals, now it's pure elimination, right? No more double chances. Do you just go for broke, or, you know, some of the options he put up there, Ridley to Harris Andrews, Bramble to Blakey, they're also a bit sideways-y, so I'm not sure how valuable they may be anyway, but what do you think, Mark, approaching trades at this stage?
I think that it does come down to those two individual trades. If you had some cash in the bank and you could do a rookie to a genuine premium that might get you 50 points a week, it's a big gamble to go this week, but you could actually make that move. You're like, I need to win. I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to try and win and get that premium into my side. But like you said, if you actually look into the numbers of those two suggested trades, they're very sideways. So Ridley's averaging 99 for the year. I think he did all right until last week, didn't he? Just had posted a 50 on the weekend. So and Bramble a 50 on the weekend, which was for his first low score as well. So a little bit of recency bias in like, oh, I need to get rid of these guys. And Blakey was really poor for the first half of the season, and then has put together four or five nice weeks, but he's still only scoring 70s mainly. So there's a good chance Bramble's going to score more than him. There's a good chance Ridley's going to score more than Harris Andrews. They're not clear upgrades. I'd be saving those ones for an injury.
Good call there, Mark. And I think maybe the threshold that you mentioned is that makes sense there is, you know, are you moving from a rookie to, you know, a premium, let's say, right? You're looking at a genuine upgrade in a position if you're going to use your final trade, because no trade left obviously introduces some risk on the run home. So you don't want to use that, I guess, on a sideways chance. You kind of want to use your final bullet on something that's a bit more of a sure thing. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a bit of a sideways move, you could potentially wait another couple of weeks before you take a risk like that.
Yep, if you're going to do it, you do it in grand final week.
Next question's from BWAS or at BWarrell28, following up after getting an awesome response from you last week, Mark. Would you use your last two trades to bring in a Tuk Miller type from Patrick Cripps and potentially even move Boak to M9, or would you hold for injuries and hope for best in the elimination final? So what happens if you have two trades, Mark? And also, I guess, do you consider trading more aggressively if what you're doing is bringing in an extra premium who, I guess, with DPP could also provide cover?
This is probably your area of expertise, I reckon. Boak hasn't been that bad, although his form has dipped in the last, I guess, 6 weeks. And Took Miller is just getting it done every single week. So that's like a genuine upgrade. Took could beat him 20 points a game from here. Two trades, you're getting into that really tricky line. Cripps just hasn't worked out, right? A bit like Taranto, just hasn't worked out, getting worse potentially. I don't know, can you get Daisy Thomas? Can you afford Daisy? Here you go, Marcus, because I think this is your area.
Well, I think using two trades and going down to no trades, basically after this week, there's only two rounds remaining, right? So you only have to look not necessarily at for the three rounds left, but from next week, what will you have left and the fact that you only have 2 weeks to go. Zero trades for 2 weeks with a decent bench isn't the craziest thing, and it's probably less crazy if you have an extra premium on bench, because if you get any injuries, you can at least cover one of them. You're only in trouble if you get multiple from a premium replacement point of view, and even still, you might still have rookie backups. So I don't hate trading aggressively at this stage. Probably more okay with it than doing it, let's say, 4 weeks out. You know, zero trades 4 weeks out seems a bit nerve-wracking, but 2 weeks out, zero trades is potentially a little bit easier to deal with. Less time for things to go wrong. I guess the thing about BWAS's proposal is you get two benefits, right? Not only do you upgrade Boak to Miller, or functionally, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. So it's Cripps to Miller, but functionally, as far as on-field goes, it's Boak to Miller.
You also, I guess, get an extra premium backup, right? So you get a twofold increase both in your backup, but also in the points on-field. Plus, you get potential benefit of Boak as cover or Boak as a loophole player to, let's say, take off an unfortunate premium score. So I don't hate that proposal that BWAS has put through, mostly because there's a two-tier benefit. And the other reason why I like trading a little bit more aggressively with your final trades is you get to the point where if you have two trades to use for injuries, you could look at it as, well, I'll wait for the injury to occur and then I'll use my trade. The other way to look at it in this particular instance, especially if you're putting an extra premium into your team, is that you're just front-loading your injury trade. You're just saying, right, I'm not going to wait for the injury to happen. I want to have the benefit of both having extra cover, but also in the next few weeks getting a boost in score on field. I don't hate that move because if injuries don't occur and you're waiting for an injury, then you'll be getting to the last round of the season. And to your point, Mark, you'll then be looking at, you know, a grand final week side swap, which, you know, it's just kind of a way to use a trade and sometimes can even deliver negative points, right? Like there's sometimes where you do a side swap and the player that you trade out just happens to have a big week and the player you trade in happens to have a poor week. By using your trades early and up front, if you can still get yourself that premium cover, but give yourself an opportunity for those trades to deliver you points in the interim, it seems like a decent risk to take at this stage of the season. I don't think there's right or wrong, but strategically, I think it's an interesting option that you can play and from a points calculation point of view can be a sound move.
My default position is that once you get down to two or three trades, they're for injuries and that's it. And I'm not a huge fan of putting a premium on the bench because unless you've got a really good DPP setup, what if you get two injuries in the back line or two injuries in the forward line and you could have used those two trades to cover donuts, basically? So you're gambling which spot you're going to get injured in. And midfield may not be the spot to do that because you've already got a three bench cover potentially. But yeah, I think that you make a pretty good case and it is not totally clear cut. It's a bit line ball, but Miller over Cripps in particular is a huge upgrade.
I think you do bring up a really good point, Mark, around the nature of the cover that you're bringing in. And this is why generally when you're doing it, a really good place to introduce this extra flexibility is with a forward, because a lot of people have ruck forward DPP, they have mid forward DPP. And if you also have def mid DPP, you can have one forward cover all four positions. So let's say you have Rowan Marshall together with Tom Fullerton, and you have Brockman in the midfield and let's say you have Laird at M8, which some people do. In that scenario, if you brought in an extra mid forward, that mid forward could come in on field. You can push Rowan Marshall into your ruck line, giving you cover there, or you can push Patrick Dangerfield from your forwards into your midfield to get cover there, or take a step further and also push Laird into your back line to essentially functionally cover a back line player. So that's one of the options for people who are looking for that sort of ultimate flexibility. If you have that deep of a DPP setup, then it certainly increases your likelihood of this type of trade working out. On to the next question. This one's from Shannon Swan from Facebook. He has one trade left and no cash. Would you still move on Tim Taranto? He's got Bramble as cover, who has been a fantastic pivot player or saver of Taranto's poor scores prior to last week. If he's to replace Taranto at his price point, who would you give a run at this stage of the season? Shannon's going for leagues at this stage.
So I'm in that situation. So I have Taranto, I have one trade, and I have no cash. I think we covered a lot of the options last week. And if you're paying 4 to 4.30, you're gambling and they're unlikely to work out. And they kind of didn't work out. I think Fiorini really struggled with the Suns just not getting much of the ball. That was pretty comprehensive, that defeat. And Tim Kelly, the same. Collingwood just completely destroyed them. So, yeah, you're really gambling in that spot and it's hard. And as you were suggesting last week, Marcus, even as someone that's traded Taranto out, it's hard to find someone that will definitely score better than Taranto at a similar price. So you're almost just better off saving the trade and sticking with the one that you've got. I guess that Steel Side Bottom at 4.30, who's just more expensive, has had a couple of good weeks. So potentially that's someone that you could gamble on. Prestia was back this week and he had a good game, but his scoring hasn't been great this season. I think that it's really tricky to find someone you'd be happy with more than Taranto in that spot.
And 1 week does make a bit of difference because he dropped 30K. So at 450, you know, last week we talked about Lockie Hunter, who ended up scoring 103. Chera scored 147. Fiorini, yeah, he did still end up scoring, you know, 106. You had Gaff at 450, Joel Selwood at 450, both scored 100 plus. Rory Sloane, even at 440, scored 100. These are all premiums or former premiums. Elliot Yeo only scored 50, but he's 440. Tim Taranto dropped to 424. So with 11K, the options do drop off a fair bit, just even 30K lower. You're looking at, you know, Warple. Prestia, like you mentioned, is probably the biggest name there, Mark, so a decent call out there. Parfit has had decent stint for Geelong at times, but he only scored 30 on the weekend. Jack Viney's at that sort of price point. You know, you're talking like serious midfield risk, not former premiums for a short punt. You're talking guys that you're hoping more than anything that can average 100. So I think if you're in the situation where you have Taranto and no cash, and just one trade, as painful as it is to hold him scoring 50s, be pretty tempted to continue. The one call out that I'd make is that since not having him the last 2 weeks, I've not really watched GWS games. But I've been told, and I see on Twitter, that coaches are frustrated with him playing up forward, Mark, and people are pointing to his shoulder, looking to be a little bit sore again. So it is something to keep in mind. I know we're talking about staying the course because it's hard to find a side swap candidate. But if you're seriously concerned that he's playing up forward because he has an injured shoulder and you're worried he's going to score 50s for the rest of the season, then taking a punt on a Warple or a Prestia is better than holding on to Tim. But, you know, unless you have serious concerns about role or injury, he's still a reasonable chance to score 85s, 90s for the next few rounds.
For me, if he's a warm body, I find it really hard to use my last trade on that with 3 weeks to go. You're almost better off trying to loophole him with a rookie on the bench if you can. My last trade is for injuries.
Agree, that's a good call. Next question is from Matthew, one of our patrons. He's got both Taranto and Bolton, but he's got two trades and 68K in bank. I suppose first up is a fellow fresh owner of Bolton.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. And there's a few of us. I think 55% in the top 5,000, according to Supercoach data on the weekend, all have bolted. So lots of people have him from Dusty. He basically was playing up forward exclusively on the weekend. Not good.
Wasn't a lot of goals on the weekend. Richmond definitely not playing great.
No, lost to Freo, which would have been a surprise to most.
So in the first 8 games of the year, he scored below 80 once. It was a 29, but he scored below 80 once. In his last 6 games, he scored over 80 twice. And one of those was just 84. So he is struggling. With that said, it's a little bit like Taranto, probably better that he's fit, just a role. He's not great. He does have 107 3 weeks ago. All I need now from him is 3 weeks. Like, he's shown this year he could spike 3 good weeks. I just need some 80s here. Like, it's just the 40s and 50s that are just killers.
Yeah, 3 80s in a row is completely fine. Plus, he's still playing for a contract, right? Like, he's got North, GWS, and Hawthorn as well on the run home. Reasonably good run. But they did lose to Freo on the weekend. I think you're right, though, in the assessment. Even though I'm probably a bit more emotionally triggered by Shai compared to Taranto, who have had time to come to terms with his poor scoring, I think you make some good points. Like, at least he's fit and he's playing in the forward line where the bar isn't as high compared to Taranto in the midfield. I mean, even at this stage, if he scores 75s for the next 3 rounds, I'd be fine. Just please stop scoring 30s and 40s.
You heard it here first, guys. Marcus guaranteed Shai Bolton's going to come good.
All right, next question, Mark, from M. Younger on Twitter. 2 trades left, 72K in bank. He's asking, which 2 problems does he fix out of Neil, Bolton, and Heaney? Looking at Kelly, side bottom, and Degoe, respectively. Bolton seems like the most obvious of the 3, but now, at this stage of the season, you only have a few weeks for this trade to deliver you benefit. What's the boundary where you start playing with your risk a little bit more? You know, we talk about 1 trade for every 2 rounds. So Mike could, you know, make 1 call this week and take a bit of a risk on one of these guys going out.
I think he's looking for an upgrade, though, and he's going to need some money. So 72K is not really going to get it done. So Heaney's coming off 5 games above 80 in a row, which is great after that little patch. Remember after he scored so well and then he had that patch of 50s, which was Shai Bolton-esque. So maybe Bolton's going to come good. Bolton is a huge concern, and I'm not sure what's going on with Brisbane. I've got Neil as well. So at the moment, I've got Neil, Taranto, Bolton, and Danaher just holding my team back massively. Yeah, Neil just really not working out. I guess you could probably get some sort of mid from Neil under 580 just in 1 trade. If you could make a 1 trade move, that's what I'd be trying to do. So potentially Bolton to someone under 460 and Neil to someone under 580 is probably where I'd be looking. Heaney with those scores above 80 seems like less of a concern to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I prefer the Bolton up move as long as you can trade him to somebody that you like, and that maybe is a bit more of the challenge. Really, Bailey Dale's the cheapest one in terms of a more solid premium at 478. Underneath that, you're taking basically risks. You got Nick Hind averaging 91 for the season.
Bit concerning that he played forward for a lot of the second half on the weekend. Peter Wright, you're not going to touch him. I guess that what you're really looking at, Marcus, is still side bottom as a side swap.
And even he doesn't feel like a lock the way. Would you prefer to get out Lockie Neal and instead have a pick of Cam Guthrie, Jared Lyons, or Andrew Brayshaw?
Lyons sounds pretty good for that price. Guthrie, has he still been scoring well since Danger's been back? I haven't followed him too closely.
Yeah, Guthrie had 1 poor score and really bottomed out at 490. His last 4 weeks, 111, 108, 120, and then against North, 147.
Neil's coming off 2 shocking weeks, like a 64 and a 70 for a premium midfielder is pretty bloody bad, but he did have 2 hundreds before that. I'm more concerned about Bolton than Neil.
Are you not concerned about Neil carrying an injury, though?
Oh, he seems to have been carrying an injury all year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that shoulder, there was rumors of him missing a game.
Just 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, he definitely came down on that. Like, I was listening to that ABC at the time, and he came down on that shoulder, and they're like, oh, my God, he's just done what Gary Ablett did. Like, he's going to be out for the year. So, yeah, he more than likely is carrying an injury. So I guess that does make it a closer call. To be honest, I didn't get to see the Brisbane game on the weekend. I think Bombers were playing at the same time.
I guess it just depends on your view of Neil and his injury risk. But basically, after coming off of 118 and 107, then there were whispers that he'd missed the Gold Coast game. He ended up not being a late withdrawal and playing through, but he scored a 64 and then scored 70 last week. So on that basis, with the midfield ceiling being a little bit more tempting in terms of trade-in options as well, I would be looking at Jared Lyons, averaged 117 for the season so far, Frio, Collingwood and West Coast on the run home, scored 100 and 121 in the last two games, but I think it was off like 130 and 150 DT. He just wasn't very efficient with the ball, but he had 33 and 38 disposals and kicked the goal in each of the last two games. So at 550, he's pretty darn good value for his season so far. All right, last question. This one's from Robert Lofty Spencer. Last forward can afford either Marshall or Bailey Dale. What do you reckon, Mark?
Given what happened on the weekend and with now three rounds to go, I'd be going Rowan Marshall personally. I just think the upside, if you can just hold together three games, the upside is just so high, you'd probably gamble on it. I mean, I guess you'd want some forward bench cover if you were going to do that. Whereas with Dale, you're sort of not likely to see the same ceiling, but you're just hoping for better durability. So, yeah, I'd gamble on Marshall. What about you?
If cash is no object, which I guess if your last trade, then yeah, probably Ron Marshall. I picked him over Dale, so it'd be weird for me to say Dale now. It's tough. I mean, I don't expect him to be scoring 158 and 127. It's like, I think 110 as an average was sort of the upside I was hoping from Rowan Marshall. And I guess that's still where I hopefully see him with Sydney, Geelong and Frio to come. Guy and Darcy aren't the worst opponents. But Bailey Dale can average 100, 105 in patches as well. Got Essendon, Hawthorn and Port Adelaide to finish. Even though I probably agree on Rowan Marshall, I'd say it's a fair flip of the coin. And so depending on your cover, to your point, Mark, Dale could be a more attractive option and could certainly outscore Rowan Marshall. I'm not expecting him to average like 125 over the last three rounds. Paddy Ryder was a laid out against Carlton, so he got to play a little bit more ruck time than he would otherwise. They did bring in Paul Hunter, but doesn't take up the same amount of ruck time as Ryder does. All right, last section, Captain's Corner to wrap up the show, Mark. What do you like?
Well, I like Sam Walsh as a good captain option at the moment, as long as he doesn't cop the tag. So against the Suns on Saturday, an early game in the round, I think that's where I'll likely head with that. And I think McRae is just so reliable, and he's been so reliable all season that I like my captain to be sort of guaranteed, as close as you can be to guaranteed a score. And so against the Bombers who don't tag, I think McRae would be a good option.
Tom Mitchell against Collingwood, probably another guy to spruik. His last six against them, 122, 167, 158, 128, 127, 147. So lowest score in six games is a 122, with three scores basically 150 or higher. He's definitely a standout this week. I think, yeah, Sam Walsh, like you said, is the other standout for me. So Walsh and Mitchell would be the two that I'm looking at. Does that work from a game order point of view? I think they just announced the fixture, right?
Yeah, Hawks are Sunday. They haven't. Carlton Saturday.
Yeah, nice. So Walsh into Tom Mitchell seems pretty good. And Tuk Miller also playing against Carlton for Tuk owners. So probably just worth mentioning him as well. Tuk's recent form against Carlton, his last four, 132, 102, 110, and 122. So not dropped the score below the ton against Carlton in a little while. Jack Steele against Sydney, his last two against them, 140 earlier this year and 129 last year. And he's obviously in fantastic form as well. So he's probably another one that, together with McRae, probably get there more on just consistency and form more than anything else. So Mitchell and Walsh, the two standouts, and then McRae and Steele, the two most consistent foils. All right, that wraps up Captain's Corner for me. Mark, anything you want to finish off with before we sign off?
No, mate, just good luck in the finals, everyone. I am keen to see some more footy this weekend. I've been watching a lot of Olympics the last week, which has been pretty good. Go Aussies, lots of gold medals. Don't get any Supercoach points for that.
Yeah, we have a special guest next week coming onto the show. Bryce is back on with somebody who has a bit of an affiliation to a Supercoach BBL. So we'll miss you next week, Mark, and then you'll hopefully be back on for the grand final show. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Two shows left after this one. All the best, listeners, if you're playing off in finals this week. And hopefully I make the top 1,000, so everyone keep your fingers crossed for me. And we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.
Let's get crazy.